The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Little thought experiment for you here this evening. If the secular world could write up its own Beatitudes, its own list of a life well lived, what would the secular Beatitudes look like? I think they go something like this. How blessed are those who are wealthy, for they shall have the best of everything. Blessed too are the powerful, for they shall always get their way. Blessed are those who are honored, for all shall speak well of them, right? And so on and so on and so on. Beatitudes, according to the secular world, the definition of a life well lived, the definition of a good person. But it raises an important question. What is a life well lived? What is a good person? Maybe you've never stopped to ask yourself that question. It's a perfect time to stop and ask yourself that question. What does it mean to live life rightly? Well, the answer to that question depends on who you trust. The secular world will tell you one thing. Christ our Lord will tell you something very, very different. And you just heard it. We call them the Beatitudes. What we just read here in the Gospel. It's the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, the most powerful sermon that's all ever been preached in all of history. Let's take a closer look. Now, the Beatitudes are hard to preach on. There's two reasons for that. The first is the subject matter. Blessed are the poor, blessed are they who mourn, blessed are the meek. What is blessedness? I'll tell you, it's hard to get your mind around it. But let's start by saying this. I'll tell you what blessedness is not. It does not reduce to happiness. It's far too shallow. Happy is a temporary phenomenon, and it's based on something outside of you that you cannot control. Happy is a bag of chips. Happy lasts until you get to the bottom of the bag, and then you ask, okay, well, now what? They say, you want to be happy for an hour? Take a nap. You want to be happy for a day? Go shopping. You want to be happy for a week? Take a vacation. But then what? Then what? See, it's temporary. Blessedness abides, and it doesn't depend on anything outside of you. It is not something that you can gain or lose by anybody's opinion of you, or by what you're hearing in the news cycle, or your health or lack thereof, or your finances or lack thereof. It's hard to get your mind around that. It's the first reason why it's hard to preach on the Beatitudes. Here's the second. It's because the Beatitudes that you just heard say so much that you try to talk about them. Well, it's like trying to take in the entire Smithsonian Institution in just one visit. You just can't do it. So you know what I do when the Beatitudes come up? I preach on just one Beatitude at a time. Last time these came up, I preached on blessed are the meek. This time we're going to talk about Blessed are the peacemakers. Stick with me long enough, we'll go through them all, okay? Blessed are the peacemakers, Jesus says. They will be called the children of God. Probably the most popular of all of the Beatitudes. And you want to know why? It's because people fail to see the challenge in it. Peace is not something Jesus told us to take. It's something he told us to go out there and make. Our job is not to sit back and enjoy the peace that somebody else fought for. Our job is to do the hard work of going out and making it happen. Now, how do we do that? Well, there's a maxim in the spiritual life, and it goes like this. Nemo dat quod non habet. That means you cannot give what you do not have, although there are many who try. You can't give peace to anybody else unless you are at first at peace within yourself. That's where it all starts. There's an error in our modern world. It's way far spread, and I bet you it's in most of our hearts right now, even as I speak. The error goes like this. Peace is the result of making all the right policies. Now, don't get me wrong, right policies are important, but if you think that if we just pass the right laws, right, tweak the knobs of government just so, we'll finally have peace on earth, not only are you badly mistaken, but you failed to learn one of the most obvious lessons taught by the entire history of the 20th century. Where heavy-handed dictator after heavy-handed dictator thought that he would make utopia on this earth by forcing everybody to follow his ideology, only to create untold misery, suffering, and a mound of human corpses numbering in the millions. It can't be done. Peace is way, way more than just having the right policies. You can't give what you don't have. You can't give peace to anybody else if you don't have it within yourself. And you want to know what? The only way to have peace within yourself is so you're at peace with God. It's the only way. St. Augustine once said, peace is the tranquility of order. All things in their proper place. Now, here's the challenge of being a peacemaker. St. James, in his epistle, tells us that the wars that are happening all around us start with wars and conflicts within our own heart, from hearts that are not surrendered to God's ways. He says, are the wars among you, did they not start with wars in your own heart? There's not a war out there in the world, any battlefield. They didn't begin with someone's internal disorder that caused it. Same thing for disagreements in neighborhoods, on highways, in workplaces and offices, in schools, in marriages and families and homes, between brothers and sisters, between friends. It all starts with rebellious hearts that won't put God first. That's the hard work of being a peacemaker. That's where it starts. Only then can you give it to somebody else. Now, the irony here is that if you want to be a peacemaker, you first have to learn how to be a warrior. Because conquering yourself is the most important battle that you will ever wage. And that means submitting to God, his commandments, and his ways. And until we do that, our wayward desires will do nothing but spark conflicts. Jesus said, not as the world gives peace do I give it. That's because Jesus' peace abides. It's one of the Beatitudes. It's something that lasts. Only saints understand what it means. Politicians, entertainers, athletes, you know, spouting off of politics and how they think the world ought to be. You know, they bend the world, don't they? They bend it, but it always bends back until every heart submits to the Lord. That's why only the peace of a saint God calls us to be. It's the only peace that lasts. Really, it's nothing more than an exposition on the first commandment. When Moses gave the Israelites the Ten Commandments, he gave them on two tablets. The first tablet taught us how to be at peace with God. The very first one of those commandments said, I am the Lord your God, you shall not have other gods before me. In other words, put first things first. Only those who do will be able to bring peace to others, to act like God would act. And that's why they're called the children of God. And that's just one beatitude. There's seven more. I'll summarize them for you real quick. You want to know how to understand the rest of the Beatitudes? Keep this in mind. The Beatitudes are not commandments. They're descriptions of what your life will look like if you're fully submitted to God. So don't hear the Beatitudes and think Jesus is saying, you know, get out there and be more meek, right? Get out there and be more sorrowing. Get busy. Get out. They're not commandments. They're descriptions of a life well lived. And if you want to see what they all look like at once, take a look at a crucifix. Perfect love displayed for us all. When they ordain a new priest, they tell him, model your life on the mystery of our Lord's cross. Good advice for all of us. Good advice for all of us. Understand that, and you'll understand him. Discover that, and you'll discover who you were made to be, to live a life worthy of the Lord, and to become worthy of eternal life in the world that is to come.